This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
Now, let's just review where we've been so far. In week number one, we talked about the inspiration of Scripture, the seven reasons why you know you can trust the Bible as God's Word. And we looked at the scientific reason, the historical reasons, and all these different other reasons on why we know the Word of God is the Word of God. Week two, we looked at the Bible's foundation, the seven reasons God gave us the Bible, and what it does in your life, and what it wants to do to transform you and make you the kind of person that you've always wanted to be, and God wants you to be. Last week, we looked at illumination, and we looked at how does God show me what he wants me to see in the Bible, how the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind. Now, this week, in week four, we're going to look at observation of the Scripture. And what I'm talking about here is I'm going to teach you how to do a Bible study. Now, if you've ever seen any of these the making of documentaries, like the making of a movie, it shows you kind of behind the scenes to Star Wars, behind the scenes to the Lord of the Rings, whatever, things like that. I'm going to give you the making of a Bible study today. And I'm going to show you how I get what I get out of the Word of God. I'm not just going to teach you a Bible study. I'm going to teach you how to study to do a Bible study on your own. Does that make sense? Now, the secret of Bible study is simply learning to ask the right kind of questions. The more you bombard a particular text with questions, the more you're going to get out of it. Now, the Bible is a supernatural book, and you can study a passage over and over and over, and you'll never hit bottom. There are passages in the Bible I have studied for 30, 40 years. The Sermon on the Mount, Psalm 23, the Beatitudes, Romans 8, 28, and on others, other passages. And every time I go back to them, I go, wow, didn't see that. Haven't seen that before. You cannot hit bottom. You can never mine the gold out of any particular text because the Bible is a supernatural book. But if you learn the principles of observation, you will see things in Scripture you've never seen before. Now, as I said, there are different kinds of questions, and each method of Bible study is simply a different set of questions. Many years ago, I wrote a book called Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods. Actually, I wrote this book in college. It's almost 35 years old. It's been revised multiple times. It's in about 20 languages, still in print. It's used in colleges and seminaries as a textbook. And I teach 12 different Bible studies, the devotional method, which you're learning in the small groups. That's just one method. The chapter summary method of Bible study, character quality, how to study a theme, how to study a biographical method, the topical method, how to study a word, how to do a book background study, how to do a Bible survey, book survey, chapter analysis, book synthesis, verse-by-verse analysis. The only difference between these 12 methods is the type of questions that you ask. And as I said, the more questions you ask, the more you're going to get out of a particular passage. Now, while they all have different kinds of questions, there are four categories you use in every Bible study. And I'm going to teach you today how to do this. Now, there are four words. And if you pull out your outline, you'll notice that there are four words: observation, interpretation, correlation, and application. These four things you will do when you're going to sit down to look at a passage of Scripture and study it for yourself. Let me explain what these mean, then we'll go back and we'll look at it in depth. The first step in any Bible study is observation. And the question you ask is, what does it say? What does it say? You simply look at the Bible verse or the story or the text or the passage, and you simply observe it. And you write down what you observe. okay? It's whatever you see. Now, you're not trying to interpret it. You're not trying to figure out the meaning of it. You're just, what does it say? And you write it down. Now, remember, the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is you use a pencil or a pen, or you type it on your computer. If you're not making notes, then you're not actually studying the Bible. You're just reading it. You have to write or record something in order to study. So an observation, you just simply look at the text and you go, what does it say? And you write down, it says this, it says this, it says this, and it says this. That's the first step. Then the second step of Bible study is interpretation, and that's where you ask the question, what does it mean? First, what does it say? Now you ask, what does it mean? Well, people say, well, doesn't the Bible mean what it says? No, the Bible means what it means. Because as in every piece of communication, we often use metaphors, we use analogies, we use phrases that literally don't mean what they mean. For instance, if I wrote you a letter and I said, you've been pulling my leg. Now, 1,000 years from today, somebody finds that letter in another language, in another place and time, and it says, Rick said that he or she was pulling his leg. They might, if they take that literally, they might think, you're literally grabbing on my foot and jerking my leg. But that's not what you're pulling my leg means. It means you're kidding me. You're teasing me. You're funning me. You're joking with me. You know, in Spanish, they say, toma mi pelo, you're pulling my hair. It's the same thing. Okay? Some of you, we couldn't pull your hair because you don't have any. So we can't joke around with you about it. In fact, you're offended by what I just said. Now, the point is, the Bible means what it means. And how you know what it means is by looking at the context around it. For instance, if I give you the word pen, P-I-N, what does that word mean to you? Well, you say, well, it means, and you might think, a rolling pin, a bowling pin the donkey. Did you know that the word pen has over 60 different meanings? P-I-N. And so you just can't say a word, well, it means this. No, it doesn't mean that. It means what it means in the context. If I'm talking about wrestling, it means I pinned you to the floor. So it has, you have to look at the verses around it. So I do, what does it say? What does it mean? Then I ask the third step in Bible study, which is correlation. And correlation is, what other verses explain it? And I ask myself, is there anything else in the Bible that will help me understand what I'm reading right now? That's called correlation. You correlate verses. You compare and you correlate. The best commentary on the Bible is the commentary itself. You use the Bible to explain the Bible. And one of the principles of interpretation is you interpret an unclear passage in light of a clear one. In other words, if you read something in the Bible and it doesn't make sense and you don't know what it means, you look for something else in the Bible that does make sense to explain it. You always use what's clear to explain what's unclear. Now, if you don't get that, you're going to go off and form some cult. You're going to get some weird idea that you just think, well, I think it means this when it doesn't mean that at all. There are things that the Bible means, there are things that it definitely doesn't mean. And the way you know that is by looking at what the whole Bible says. I'm going to teach you how to do that today. And then the fourth step in Bible study is application. And that is, what am I going to do about it? What does it say? What does it mean? What other verses explain it? And what will I do about it? No matter what you're going to study, you're going to ask these four questions. What does it say? And you write it down. What does it mean? That's interpretation. What other verses explain it? And what will I do about it? Now, today, what I'm going to do is show you how to do this. And what I did is I just picked a random text out of the Bible. It wasn't any particular text, not a particularly well-known passage. I just picked a passage out of the Bible, and we're going to take it, and I'm going to walk you through this. And we're not only going to study it ourselves, but I'm going to show you how to study it for yourself. Now, the passage I chose is in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Now, let me give you a little background. Paul is writing this letter from Rome. Paul is the apostle who wrote much of the New Testament. He's in prison in Rome for his missionary work. He's due to appear before Caesar. He's hoping one day to be released and go back to all the churches that he started. But he's not able to do this, so he's writing letters to the churches he started. One of the letters that he wrote to the church that he started in a city called Philippi, which is a city in Greece. So Paul's in Italy, and he's writing to a church in Greece. And because he's writing these people in Philippi, it's called the Letter to the Philippians. If he had written it to us, it would be First and Second Californians. So the book of Galatians means the people who lived in the city or the area of Galatia. And the book called Corinthians is written to the people who lived in the Greek city of Corinth. These are real cities, like Rome. The book of Romans is written to the people who lived in Rome. And so he's writing to the Philippians, and they had taken up a love offering for him and sent it to him, and now he's writing them back. And the book of Philippians is actually a thank you note. It's a thank you note in which he's writing to the people saying, thank you guys for sending me this offering. And in the middle of this book, Philippians chapter 2, here's what he says. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. In other words, I'm in Rome. I want to send Timothy, who's with me in Rome, to you in Philippi, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Because he had heard news from them. I have nobody else like him, like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everybody else, he just looks after his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself. He's proved himself because as a son with a father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I can see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. He's saying, I hope I get back to see you soon, too. But, he says, I think it is also necessary, it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. We'll find out who this guy is in a minute. I'm going to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger because you sent him to take care of my needs. In other words, they sent this guy Epaphroditus with the offering to Rome and to tell Paul how they were doing. So he said, he's your messenger you sent to me, but I'm going to send him back to you. For he longs for all of you. He's homesick. And he's distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was ill and he almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, I'm not just in prison, I would have lost a good friend. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, Epaphroditus, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Circle that phrase, honor men like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. In other words, you couldn't be here, so you sent him, and he risked his life to get from Greece to Rome. And what you need to welcome him with great joy and honor men like him. Now, you read that passage, and as I read it, you go, well, that doesn't seem to be a very deep passage. It's just kind of a thank you note. It's like a personal note here. In fact, you might read this as you're reading it on a day, and you go, why did God put that in the Bible? Paul's just talking about a couple friends, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and he goes, you guys send them to me, I'm going to send them back to you, and you need to honor them when they get there. It doesn't sound like a very meaty passage of Scripture. It doesn't sound like there's some deep doctrinal truth. It doesn't sound like there's some big encouragement for me. And you might even think, this is just a passage, you read quickly and skip over and get to the really good stuff in the Bible. And if you did that, you'd be dead wrong. You'd be dead wrong. Because you didn't do the observation and the interpretation to get the true meat out of it. Now let me show you a couple verses. We've talked about these in the last few weeks. Look up here on the screen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture, not part of it, all of it. That means even the stuff that just sounds like personal greetings. All Scripture is inspired by God. And it is useful, it's all useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, and it teaches us how to do what's right. So even this passage where Paul's just saying, hey, I've got these friends, these co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. By the way, you know what Epaphroditus means? It's the Greek word that means from Aphrodite. That's what it means. It means from Aphrodite. So Epaphroditus was not obviously born in a Christian family. He was born in a Gentile or a Greek family who named him after the god Aphrodite. Epaphroditus means from Aphrodite. Okay, and he goes, I'm going to send these guys to you. But the Bible says it's all inspired. So even this part has something to teach us. And you're going to see it in just a minute. Let me show you another verse. Romans 15:4 on the screen here says, for everything, not some things, everything in the Bible was written to teach us. Even this part. So that through the endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. This story, this passage I just read you, the Bible leaves it in. God puts it in the Bible for your encouragement and for your hope. You say, well, I didn't get any encouragement and hope out of it. It's because you haven't studied it yet. You just read it. So what we're going to do is actually look at this very powerful passage, particularly for men. I'm going to talk to men today. Ladies, you can listen in, but it's primarily a passage for men, and I'm going to teach you how to study the Bible.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Is it enough to just love the Word and to learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
All right, I want you to take your Bible and you open it to Philippians chapter 2 and take your message notes. And let's go through these 4 steps. What does it say? What does it mean? What else in the Bible says something about it? And what am I going to do about it? First, we start with observation. What does it say? Now, what I would do is I would simply look at this. I would read it through several times. And I would just write down what I see. It's not anything fancy. It's just whatever I see. And I see 3 things in this passage. You might write them down. First, I observe that Paul intends to send 2 men to Philippi. Okay? Paul intended to send 2 men to Philippi. And that's just an observation. There's nothing fancy about it, nothing spiritual. It's just that's what I see. And in verse 19, he says, I hope to send you Timothy. There's one of the guys. And in verse 25, he says, I think it's necessary to send Epaphroditus back to you. He actually came from that church. I'm going to send him back home. So I'm going to send 2 guys to you, Timothy and Epaphroditus. The second thing I observe is that Paul endorsed these guys as role models. In fact, they're role models who deserve honor. Paul endorsed Timothy and Epaphroditus as role models who deserve honor. In verse 20, Paul says about Timothy, he says, I have no one else like him. Now, you might just read that and just jump all over it. But friends, that is the greatest endorsement you could ever receive as a Christian. Paul is the greatest Christian who's ever lived next to Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. And Paul says, I've got nobody in the world like Timothy. If Paul said that about you, that means you're at the top of the heap. You're on the A-list. You're the very best Christian he knows. If Paul said about you, I've got nobody else like Bob or Janet or Mary. I've got nobody else like Kristen. That would be the greatest possible compliment you could ever receive for your faith. So this is not a small issue here. Now I got to pay attention. He says, I got nobody like Timothy. And then about Epaphroditus, he says, verse 29, welcome him and honor men like him.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. Here's Rick to tell you more.
To fulfill the purpose that God created you for, and to become the person that God wants you to be, you must fill your life with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, through the Word we are put together and shaped for the tasks that God has for us. You see, God's Word is unlike any other word. It's alive. In John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. When God's Word comes into your life, you come alive. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us that God's Word generates life, creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. The Bible tells us that God's Word heals our hurts and builds our character and transforms our circumstances. The Bible tells us that God's Word imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. It releases power. It cleanses our minds. The Bible says God's Word brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Now, to help you study the Word of God and to deepen your understanding of this life-changing Word, I've created a resource. It's called 40 Days in the Word, and it's a study kit that you can do by yourself or, even better, do it with a couple friends in a small group. It includes a DVD study of 6 sessions and a workbook and other instructions on how to memorize Scripture, how to meditate on God's Word, and how to get God's Word into your heart and life at a level you have never had it before. This month, when you give a gift to help support the Ministry of Daily Hope, I want to send you the 40 Days in the Word study kit. It'll help you study the Bible, but as I said, it can also be used as a small group study where you'll learn methods of personal Bible study. This is all for your gift to Daily Hope. I've told you before, we're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gift goes directly toward telling people around the world about the hope of the good news. I do this for free. I don't get any remuneration for doing this. I do this because I care about God's Word and I care about you. The Bible says we can't live without the Word of God. We are to never take it for granted. We are to consider it an essential part of our lives, as essential as eating on a daily basis. Job 23:12 says, I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. Do you do that? This study kit, 40 Days in the Word, can teach you how to treasure God's Word even more than food.
We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word 6-session video and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.